we follow Jesus and how we relate to one another. I am going to use a verse that was not in the readings today. So I want to encourage you, as hopefully you've been able to do over the past few weeks, if you would take this home, take the bulletin home, and take at least a couple of minutes sometime during the week and look at the readings and see what strikes you. And then ask God to unpack that with you more for your life and how you might follow God. That kind of thing, even for just a few minutes, builds your faith. It helps us to be who Jesus is asking us to be. So I encourage you to do that, you know, as you have the opportunity. The verse I'm going to look at this morning with you is Exodus 20, 5 and 6. And it reads like this. The entire family is affected. That should get your attention right away, right? The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You might have heard that before. You might recognize that. That's right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. And it's very, I think, uplifting, you know, for me. It's very encouraging. And what is implied here is that there are traits and whatever you want to call them, things that flow through generations. And they flow through a lot of generations in our families, and as well as in organizations like a church. There are dynamics that will flow through a church year after year. It seems like until Jesus returns or whenever that's going to be. And also through groups, it'll flow like that. And there is one way, when it's a negative dynamic that is flowing through that group, for that to stop, and that is to break the chain of unforgiveness that is related to that. That's a very powerful thing to do. But let me just give you a couple of instances of how this works. Let's see. I brought this along. I have this hanging on the wall in the office over here in front of my, at the desk where I can look at it. And this is how my family came into the Christian faith. So I'll just read a little bit for you. There's some Gaelic names. I don't know how to say them. It's like when you read those long Hebrew names. I'm just going to say it, whether it's right or wrong. You'll probably think I'm right. Well, whatever. So, circa 470 AD, St. Patrick comes to Lower Ormond. That's somewhere in Ireland, where Meachar and the Omichair chieftain, who is the Omichair chieftain, and his brothers, Furic and Munich, go to meet him. Subsequently, the Omichair clan becomes Christian. So from that point, through the generations, God has done something so that following Jesus, receiving salvation, walking after him, just continues from generation to generation. Now, of course, that could be broken. There may be times when it has been broken, but somehow the blessing of God has gone through all those generations to this day and continues on. Let me give you another example of how this works, which is a little more perhaps closer to home for some of us. There was a young woman who had her family over for dinner, and she made meatloaf. And what she did to prepare the meatloaf was, before putting it in the oven, she cut off either end and then put it in the oven. And her husband had seen this happen a number of times and finally said, "Why do you cut off either end?" She says, "Oh, I don't know. That's how my mom always used to do it." So he goes to his mother-in-law and says, why did you cut off either end of the meatloaf?" And she says, I don't know. That's how my mother did it." So he goes to his wife's grandmother and says, "Why did you cut off either end of the meatloaf?" And she said, my oven was too small, and that was the only way I could fit it in there. And that dynamic went from generation to generation. And those kinds of things will happen with us. They'll happen with St. Francis. We're probably doing things today that we don't know why we're doing them. It's just that's how they were done. And we believe in 20 years. That's an incredible thing. It's a very powerful thing that happens among us. And unforgiveness can affect us in the same way, and it can affect families and groups. There may even be some unforgiveness from the past somehow in this church that needs to be broken. I mean, I can't point to it. I don't know what it is. It's just very possible. Very, very possible. If someone, for example, hurt your parents, it is very hard to forgive that person. Or you may know families who've had a mutual grudge for generations because of conflict between their great-grandfathers. Yeah, your great-grandfather said this to my great-grandfather. And that goes on deeply. That's a chain that needs to be broken with the blessing of God that will then last 1,000 generations. If you find yourself thinking some negative things that continually come, one of the origins of that may be a chain of unforgiveness that has gone from generation to generation. Like if your reaction, and of course you don't have to admit it out loud or anything right now, but if your reaction is, well, nobody's going to tell me that, or I'm not going to do that. Anybody like that in here? You don't have to raise your hand, but that may come from some generations back where there was a conflict and somebody told somebody else in your family, you have to do this, and they said, I'm not going to do that, and there was a break in the relationship, and it has now gone through the generations. It's understandable. But following Jesus, we want to forgive. We want to break that chain. It's the key to everything. Well, let's go on and take a little further look at how this works. As the verse said, the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Negative things lasting to the third and fourth generation. That's a Hebrew idiom for they last a really long time. They just keep going. Blessing lasting to 1,000 generations is a Hebrew idiom for that blessing will last for an even longer time and be even stronger. That's what that's getting at. And what God does is provides a powerful blessing that breaks the chain of generational unforgiveness that will block our ability to follow Jesus in one area or another. You may be thinking of some areas. You may be thinking of some instances. You may be thinking of some groups that you've been in. You may be thinking of some churches that you've been in where the graveyard is centuries old and there's a family name on a row of gravestones, and some people will not even look at that row because of the unforgiveness in the generations. God can break that. And some of us this morning may leave today with a new freedom, where there's a forgiveness that flows that you've never been able to reach. And this congregation may be able to move in a new freedom if there is unforgiveness that is flowing through us in some way, and it is broken by the blessing of God. That will open doors that have never been opened to us, perhaps as a congregation, or as individuals, or as families. You know, whatever it is, where there's unforgiveness just there, and it's broken, the freedom begins to flow. Part of that is because it's part of God's covenant that he makes with us. Remember the difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract is, I will do this as long as you do that. And when you do that, I will do this. That's a contract. I mean, there's more to it than that, but that's basically a contract. A covenant is where someone comes to us and says, I will do this with you so that our relationship will continue. The one who starts the covenant has the capacity to maintain the relationship for everyone that is involved. The entire thing depends on that one person. That one does what it takes to keep up the relationship without fail, even when we cannot or will not or do not keep up the relationship. That one provides whatever's necessary to do that. That's a covenant. That's the relationship we have with God. Our unforgiveness keeps us separated from God. There's a wall. There's something there that keeps us from hearing the voice of the Lord and walking after Jesus and following Jesus. And when that unforgiveness is washed away by the power of God and our ability to forgive, then we are able to follow Jesus in the manner that he is calling us to follow him. That's one reason why it's the key to everything. It's the key to our relationships. It's the key to our generosity. It's the key to us becoming like Jesus. When God says, I will lavish unfailing love for a thousand generations on those who love me and obey my commands, God is providing the power to love and keep the commands, paying for the times we do not love and keep the commands. In other words, God's love for us is greater than our sins and our unforgiveness. Something we kind of knew. But sometimes the rubber needs to hit the road in certain areas. And maybe there's one for you this morning. God will provide what we need to be free of our sins as well as our unforgiveness we so naturally hold on to. And what that will do will break the chain that has gone through our generations. See, when you forgive somebody, it's not just you who benefit and maybe the person that you've forgiven. There's everybody around you. It changes the system that you're in. It affects the generations to come, and it opens the door for the blessing of God to keep flowing far beyond you and me. Now, the powerful response that God wants to do is this, and it's simple, but it's powerful, and that is to forgive. And I want to point something out about forgiveness, and perhaps I have over the past couple of weeks, but it bears repeating. And this is true about forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, forgiving other families, groups, forgiving other groups, anything you can think of where forgiveness is called for. This is true about it. No one does our forgiveness for us. Not even God. God does not do our forgiveness for us. God provides the power for us to forgive. But we take it up. God provides all the grace that we need to forgive, to see what God sees, but we still take it up. That's our response of love to God and to others around us. We're the ones who do it. And God will keep on giving us the power to forgive as long as it takes for us to forgive. So you might think, well, this person, what they did, you wouldn't believe it. How could they be forgiven? This is a real test of my faith to forgive them. And something is true about the tests that God gives us. You never fail them. You will never fail a test that God gives you. You just get to keep taking it over until you pass. Because our God has made a covenant with us, and he will never let us go. Nothing will ever separate us from his love. And he'll keep providing that power so that you can forgive, so that you can do the forgiveness you need to do. This is part of the very powerful step in forgiveness. And you, in other words, you and I must break any chains of unforgiveness that may have affected us through our family line or any other set of relationships that we have. When Jesus gives us the power to love like that, he wants us to use it. You don't want to get flabby about your forgiveness. You want to use it. So how do you use it? What do you do? How do you actually break the chain of unforgiveness that has gone through generations, whether it's family or group or whatever it may be? The first thing that you do is this. You ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to break the chain of unforgiveness. That's an important first step. It's the way that you realize that you don't have the power to do it on your own. You need God's power to do it. It's a way to admit you don't really want to do it. You've gotten used to the way that it is. You'd much prefer keep going that way, but you want to follow Jesus. So you ask for the power of the Spirit to do it because you just don't have the power of the Spirit to do it. And then the next step is something which is still simple, but many, many people feel very uncomfortable doing it. If you're not already feeling uncomfortable with the whole topic. You proclaim that you break the chain of authority that you have given to unforgiveness. The temptation will be, oh God, please break the chain of unforgiveness. But what it is you break it. Once God has given you that power, which God is doing right now at this moment, once you have that power, then it's you who uses it and you who says, I break the chain of authority I have given to unforgiveness that has been in my family for generations. Then other thoughts may come, other people may come, and you just forgive them. So you can tell God, you can speak it out, I forgive them, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. You just come into mind. Put a chair in front of you and look at that, I forgive you, I forgive you. You know, whatever it takes for you to proclaim your forgiveness. That's how it goes. Remember, no one forgives for you. You do it. There are generations to come in our families and in our church that will receive blessing because you have broken a chain of unforgiveness. Because you asked for the power of the Spirit in all humility, even with the brokenness in your heart. And then you have finally stood up and said, I break the chain of authority I have given to the unforgiveness that has been in the generations of my family or of this church or of the group that I'm in or whoever it is. And the generations to follow receive something of the blessing of God because of that action. Now, if you don't, God can find another way to do it. But I don't know about you, but I want part of my legacy to be that the ones who come after me receive a blessing from God because I did something. I'll never negate God's power to pour out that blessing with me or without me or however God chooses to do it. But I want to be part of it. I want to be part of what happens to my grandchildren. I want to be part of what happens to the ones who come after in St. Francis here. I want to be part of what happens following every group that I'm in. I want the blessing of God to be flowing into those areas because I was part of it. I want you to be part of it too. I want you to be able to forgive any person you need to forgive, and I want you to be able to break any chain that has held you back. Once that has happened, you can ask God to fill all those dark places with light and then ask God to guide you into the next steps of your life. It is one thing to say, it's one thing to say, I'm just going to stand where I am and that's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. It is another thing to stand in the middle of the family or the middle of the church or the middle of the other group and say, I choose to be transformed. And I'm going to be part of the way God transforms this family or this church or this group. Now, what I want to do this morning is just to take a moment and maybe go through a simple way of doing this together. I will lead us, and you can join in as you wish. If you wish to do it out loud, you may. But you have your mask on. We may not hear you clearly, but, you know, whatever. It's up to you. Or silently. Whatever's going to work. I just want to have us together engage with the Spirit of God so these chains will be broken. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who breaks every chain. You're the chain breaker, the way maker, the one who leads us into new life. And we wish today to be doorways and avenues through which our families and this church and every group we're in is transformed into your likeness. So now we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit. Let it flow through us. And in the name of Jesus, we break every chain to which we have given authority of unforgiveness throughout our families, throughout our life in the church, and in any group we've been a part of. We break that chain now. Lord, we also forgive any and all individuals and groups that you are bringing to mind. And we ask that you would pour out upon them what you choose. And we ask you fill all those previous dark places with your light, and that we would have the power of your Spirit to walk every step you desire for us to take. We ask that today In the name of Jesus. Amen.